You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome one, welcome all, to the greatest crossover ever attempted and successfully landed in the history of the world, the galaxy, the universe, all universes. This is the NFC East Mixtape, Volume 49. You can hear this show on any of SB Nation's NFC East platforms, you know, podcast networks, whatever. Blog of the Boys, Bleeding Green Nation, Big Blue View, Hogs Haven. I am RJ Ochoa from Blog of the Boys. He is Brandon Lee Gowton from Bleeding Green Nation. BLG, happy episode before our 50th.
How scared of you? How scared are you?
You're very scared of me. Yeah. I understand.
How scared are you of the Eagles now that they have Zach Pascal on their roster?
Oh my gosh. I saw the disparagement that was happening towards Carson Wentz. You know, the Eagles just got this guy that Carson just didn't know how to use in Indianapolis. So
that's not what I said.
I saw that's exactly what you said. I'm reading it verbatim, bleedinggreennation.com. On the subject of plugging things, Brandon, I want to start because there is a visual component to the SB Nation, all right, SB Nation NFL show. Goodness gracious. You can listen to both of us here on the SB Nation NFL show. Different podcast platforms. Subscribe there, leave a rating, write a review, all that stuff. Subscribe and leave a rating, write a review to your preferred podcast platform, whether you're a Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, or Commanders fan here. You can also watch this show on the Bleeding Green Nation YouTube channel, as well as the Dallas Cowboys. Gosh, goodness gracious. Not the Dallas Cowboys YouTube channel.
Let's start the episode.
The Blogging the Boys YouTube channel, where we cover the Dallas Cowboys. It's been a long, short week already. And with the visual component, I wanted to say the founder of Blogging the Boys, again, you know, Blogging the Boys has been around for a long time. You know Dave Halpern very well. Brandon wrote a book, the big book of college football trivia. Came out today, the day that you and I are recording, Tuesday, March 22nd, 2022. Wow. So it's obviously a book of college football trivia. Very cool kind of stocking stuffer type of gift if you have a college football fan in your life. Dave's on Twitter at Dave_Halpern. Head there. He's got some links with it. I tweeted out as well. You know, support one of our own. You know, the blogger life is a unique one, BLG. We have to support each other.
Sure. Yes.
Wow, look at that. Well, BLG is pumped. I think there's some Penn State trivia in here, and that is your favorite team. In fact, do you want me to hit you with a question right now?
Sure. This is a terrible idea. I don't know college football trivia. I will say Dave is a nice guy. Met him one time in Washington, D.C. when we had like an SB Nation NFL Writers Summit. This is pre your time at BTB, RJ. So before your life had any meaning, basically. And nice guy. So definitely do actually go and check out his book, especially if you like college football. Are you ready to ask me the question?
So I'm just going to read this to you. I obviously haven't read the book yet. It just came out today. And so it's been sitting on my desk for all of about an hour since it was delivered. So getting through the formatting here, this is on page 97, number 536. Here we go. Since 1997, which are the only two positions besides quarterback that have been represented by number one overall picks? Coincidentally, these two positions face each other on the football field and battle on every play. Since 1997, which are the only two positions besides quarterback that have been represented by number one overall pick? So positions that have been taken with the number one overall pick. There are two non-quarterback positions here.
Oh.
And
the NFL draft entirely, you're saying?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And so again, your clue here that Dave has given you and supplied is, coincidentally, these two positions face each other on the football field and battle on every play.
Well, it would be defensive end and offensive tackle, right?
Well, it's written offensive tackle and defensive end, so, you know, you didn't get in the proper order, but, you know, hey.
I had to get it in the order.
I mean, it isn't that exact sort of thing, but congratulations. You get to come on down to the showcase. I'm proud of you.
So I'm trying to think, who would it be? It would be Jadeveon Clowney, defensive end, is one of them, at least. Who was offensive tackle?
Mario Williams.
Eric Fisher.
Eric Fisher and who went in 2008? Jake Long?
Jake Long.
Yeah.
Remember that was back when they used to kind of like, I feel like, negotiate the contracts before.
Oh, yeah. And it was like, yeah. It was like, it was not a deal. It was like, they would just show, like, they already had pictures and stuff. I think they'll, like, this happened post, now not new CBA, but post old new CBA. Jameis kind of had that. Or like, it was negotiated, like, that night. His rookie contract, which was kind of rare at the time. That was 2013, but still, not 13, 2015. Excuse me. Goodness gracious. I'm all over the place.
Yeah, what are we doing? What is the theme of the show?
Well, so that's the thing. We've kind of been all over the place. Actually, before we start, I just saw this tweet. All right. So this is happening literally. We're doing it live. This is a pre-recorded thing, but it's live nonetheless. This is a tweet from Michael Gelkin, who covers the Dallas Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News. Just going to read it verbatim. All right. Get pumped. I'm going to read it in my like most somber voice possible. No momentum exists between Cowboys and ex-Seahawks linebacker Bobby Wagner in free agency, source said. DC Dan Quinn and Wagner, who was operating his own agent, been in contact, strong relationship and belief there, but a 2022 reunion is considered unlikely and long shot from start.
Woo!
Life is pain, baby.
Really love all the, and not dissimilar to the Eagles, by the way, who have been connected to like Allen Robinson and Robert Woods.
I know, Bear.
And
I
Bear. Know. A lot of players have missed out. The Cowboys have kind of been in the same boat, at least when it comes to edge rushers. There was like, oh, Cowboys might get Vaughn. There's some smoke there. And then it was like, nope, going to the Bills. And then the Cowboys might get Za'Darius Smith. He's not going to the Ravens again back there after all. And then, nope, he's going to the Vikings. So I feel like both teams in the NFC East at the top, the Eagles and the Cowboys, are kind of striking out, doing nothing really, nothing too exciting. I know the Cowboys brought back, what, J'Ron Kearse. Okay. Cool.
The Cowboys have now brought back 10 of their own players, so watch out. They have, however, cut one of them in Lyle Collins. They have traded one of them in Amari Cooper, and they lost Randy Gregory in rather embarrassing fashion. They did, however, sign James Washington, former Pittsburgh Steeler.
I think it's a good move. I mean, just because from the standpoint of, I would bet on any Steelers wide receiver, like buy low, because their quarterback couldn't throw the ball down the field. Like, to buy low on James Washington or Juju or is there another Steelers free agent receiver? Maybe. I can't think of. But my point is, like, Big Ben was so bad, man. You know that. Everyone knows that. Why not take a shot on a Steelers receiver after that?
I mean, I agree. I mean, look, I'm fine with James Washington. They also signed Dante Fowler. And one of the biggest like selling points that they're pushing out is like, oh, he has a relationship with Dan Quinn because Quinn recruited him to Florida and then coached him in Atlanta. You know who else has a relationship with Dan Quinn? Bobby freaking Wagner. Like, you know, like it's a stronger relationship. They won a freaking Super Bowl together. It's just, you know, like it's, dude, why?
Fowler hasn't even been good, by the way, outside of like playing with Aaron Donald. So, yeah, I think that's kind of weak.
Wow. Okay. Are you ready to hear what we're going to talk about today? That's what we were trying to explain. And I'm going to also try to write this article in the background. You know how difficult that is. I know you've written and podcasted before. Just to let everybody know how the sausage is made sometimes. But we had a hard time coming up with something to discuss today. Right? Is that fair? You want to be honest?
I mean, I always throw ideas out here and you're like, no, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that.
Actually,
like,
okay, you denied your own ideas. You threw out an idea and you said, actually, we should wait on that one. And I'm fine waiting on that. I think you spent too much of your creative energy this week on the Oddcast where I won an award. I'll just say that. You know, if anybody wants to listen to this week's Oddcast, I won an award.
Every single week.
You mentioned something. You guys power ranked the AFC quarterbacks on the podcast this week. Everyone go listen to the SB Nation NFL show. And you were talking about Mac Jones, and you said something that kind of triggered a thought in my mind. You said he's never going to be top five in the AFC, right? Like, and that's totally fair. And like, you know, there will be arguments and discussions about whether the Patriots should pay Mac Jones in a few years, whatever. I'm not here to talk about that. But on the subject of being top five in their conference, who within the NFC East, Brandon, is top five in their position within the conference? I'll actually fix that.
Any position.
So we're talking, let's see, let me get the banner correct here. So anybody in the NFC East who is a top five player at their position within the entire NFC?
I mean, I, you know, Dak is an obvious answer.
Whoa, just chill out. We don't want to like sell the farm. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, like, but do we want to start with Dak? Are you ready? You want to, like, we want to go team. I was thinking we go like Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, Commanders, see how, you know, how many we could put together. You know, are you like, ready?
From each roster? Sure.
Okay. So, so Cowboys starting off with the best. Brandon's favorite team. Dak Prescott, right? Who are the top five quarterbacks in the NFC? In whatever order you want. It's Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, yep. Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, right? Those are the top. Those are the five.
I think you can put Kyler in the top five.
I think you can. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
I think the top six are pretty like solidified. I would say the top six are kind of like in some order. You can debate the order, but the top six to me are like locked in at those guys you said plus Kyler.
Yeah. Okay. So the top six are pretty solidified, but Dak is not last in that group.
I think you could argue he's there. I think he's anywhere from six to, what did I have him? I did my own rankings. I have him at four, but I think he's four to six.
So, okay, that's dumb, but fine. He's in the top five at within the NFC among quarterbacks. So Dak Prescott makes this list. What other Cowboys? Amari Cooper's gone.
Oh,
that sucks.
Tough one. You're ready to say it. You weren't kidding right there, were you?
No, I really was. Yeah. I'm just a great actor, is honestly.
No, that hurts you, man. You're like, oh, yeah, not on our team anymore. Gave him away for barely anything.
I'm actually caught up trying to tweet. I'm quoting this tweet, and so this is what I'm going to add. Check this out. In the Cowboys' defense, they have salary cap space to spend and a need at the position, so their hands are tied. You know, it's not really the Cowboys' fault that they can't sign Bobby Wagner. Okay, top five receivers. Maybe it's easier if we do this. Like, we just kind of, like, flesh out. It's going to be a little bit harder with the offensive line. But top five receivers in the NFC. Devontae Adams no longer there. But who's the best receiver in the NFC right now? Is it Justin Jefferson?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's Cooper Kupp. It's Cooper Kupp, sorry.
Well, okay. And then it's those are the top two.
Right. So you got Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson. I think Debo's got to make the list, right?
Sure. Yeah.
What are you watching? What's going on above you for the...
I'm looking into nothing. I'm looking at the wall and thinking. I'm a thousand yard okay. stare at the wall.
So we've got Kupp, JJ, Debo. Pick a buck if you want to. I think
I was going to say Mike Evans probably.
Evans. That's four, and then
who else are we missing? Anyone from?
I mean, maybe Michael Thomas. When he returns, but who knows? Terry McLaurin. Like, look, we're fleshing out. Maybe DK Metcalf. I mean,
I would say Terry McLaurin, honestly.
You think Terry McLaurin is the best receiver in the NFC East by that logic?
Yeah. Who's better? Who's definitely better?
In the NFC East?
You can't even name one.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't understand the question.
Yeah. Who's better than Terry McLaurin in the NFC East? Besides Devontae Smith.
I want to say CeeDee Lamb. Okay. I want to.
I don't think you can, though.
I want to. It's actually a good question. Is Terry McLaurin the best receiver in the NFC East? Wow.
He is. Oh, we're going to be doing our all NFC's team in what, like 2 months or so, a couple months here?
Yeah. Well, okay. So anyway, okay, fine. Terry McLaurin. So our top five receivers in the NFC, this is the NFC's mixtape to be very clear. We've got Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Debo Samuel, Who do we just throw in? I forgot one. Terry McLaurin and Mike Evans. Like, you could put Chris Godwin in there over Terry McLaurin, sure, if you really wanted to. But so, okay, no receivers on the Cowboys are a top five within the conference. Tyron Smith is a top five left tackle in the NFC.
It's so hard to like, yeah, but he like is, injuries. Like,
I know, but he is. He is.
I guess. Why is there?
Okay. Something's Zach Martin.
Outside. Okay. Great.
You okay? Are you alive?
I'm fine, but like. Some weird noise going on. Anyway.
I mean, okay. So Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, right? Those two were willing to concede totally easily, right?
Definitely Zach Martin.
Tyron is kinda... Tyron is a top five tackle in the NFL. He's a top five tackle in the NFC.
In the NFL? Like,
yes. Again, I understand that he has injury concerns, but he is a top five tackle. Okay. Micah Parsons, obviously.
Yeah.
Trayvon Diggs.
I don't know if Diggs is.
Name five corners in the NFC that are better than Trayvon Diggs so that people can laugh at you. Do it.
I was thinking league-wide. And then
good job understanding the exercise.
You would agree with me, probably not league-wide, right?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to flesh it out.
Who are the... Like Jaire Alexander. Jaire? Okay. Jaire? Definitely. We'll put him in the top five. Who are the other good? I feel like there's so much volatility at corner. You don't really get guys like year in and year out being amazing. Like why can't I think of anyone? Like, who is that guy?
Because you're hating. That's what's happening.
Well, who would it be? Who else?
I'm telling you, I think Trayvon is a top five corner in the NFC.
I can even name someone else who I think would be in that group. Like, again, it's consistent year to year.
So you concede that Trayvon, great.
I guess, is by default.
DeMarcus Lawrence. That's the only other one I'm going to argue for. Name five edge rushers in the conference that are better.
Hassan Reddick.
That's the first one you come up with. That's the first name.
How many players have more sacks than Hassan Reddick the past two seasons?
I would love for you to come up with five names. Just I'm fine with whatever order you want to come up with them in.
Za'Darius Smith,
Hassan who's coming Reddick. Off missing literally the entire year, but okay.
Chandler Jones went to the AFC.
Mm-hmm. Khalil Mack went to the AFC.
Khalil Mack's in the AFC. It's tough.
Yeah,
but like, it doesn't mean I'm wrong, or it just means I don't have the information right now.
Okay, so we agree. The Dallas Cowboys, who are top five at their position in the NFC, throughout the entire NFC, quarterback Dak Prescott. We've got, I want to come
makes
back
it more
to
embarrassing that you guys can't win anything. By the
I
way.
Know. Tyron, Zach, Micah, Diggs, and Lawrence. That's six. I don't think this exercise will be difficult, but just so that nobody says we didn't touch it, can you name five running backs in the NFC that are better than Zeke Elliott? Or would you like me to? Because I think I would prefer to take this.
You can do it.
Okay. Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones. That's three.
Tony Pollard.
I mean, Cam Akers when healthy looks better. I mean, I know he had the fumble that was awful, but James Conner looked really good last year. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, I would still take. I mean,
Saquon? No.
No, I mean, he's not top five, though. That's the problem. I mean, it's just, it sucks. It is what it is. Good thing they didn't pay him.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Is Mike McCarthy a top five coach in the NFC?
Come on.
Name five that are better.
Okay. Nick Sirianni, Ron Rivera. I mean, I hate every coach, so this is tough. There are no top five coaches in my top five. There's nobody, because I wouldn't put Sean McVay up there because he's a coward and he sucks.
Oh my gosh. Brandon is in a bad mood today, if anybody couldn't tell.
There's no coaches in my top five. That's how I feel about it.
Okay. So we agree that there are six Cowboys are top five positions.
Bruce Arians. I know you hate Bruce, but you're not going to put him
sure,
in the top
fine.
Five.
I'm with you on that. Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan,
sadly,
and then Pete Carroll.
Do we still believe Pete Carroll's like, I mean, based on like accomplishment, I guess he is, but do we feel like going into this season he's a top five head coach?
No, I don't. That's a good point. Maybe he's number five. It's possible he's number five. I mean, like, again, if you go in whatever order you want, Matt LaFleur, Bruce Arians, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, it's very possible that Mike McCarthy is the next best head coach.
You're not going to put your boy Matt Eberflus in the top five?
He's a rookie right now, dude. That's all. You know, we got to take time. Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's projection. Yeah, I'm looking at the teams. Dan Campbell, obviously, better. Yeah, I don't know. Not a lot of great coaches here.
Let's move on to the Philadelphia Eagles. You want to start on offense? Jason Kelce, that's it.
Devontae Smith.
Devontae is not... He might not even be a top 10 receiver in the NFC.
Wanted to be a part of a volume passing offense or could handle that. By the way, kind of feel like I was pretty good about calling my shot on that. I'm like, I don't know what receivers the Eagles are going to want or be interested in or are going to want to come here when they're going to play in an offense that doesn't target them a ton. So
yeah, that's kind of also like being an Eagle sucks. And like, there's also those factors as well right now.
So I would say Devontae, but like not,
that would
not
be wrong. That would be a lie. That would literally be incorrect.
It's right in the sense of it should be, if again, the offense was run the way it should be run and a normal passing offense, but it's not. So unfortunately he's being held back. So Kelce, I think Jordan Mailata has a case to be, maybe not yet, but like after this season.
Yeah, this isn't a yet exercise. This is a today.
I mean,
exercise.
I think you could.
That we spent a lot of time like coming
PFF's
up.
PFF's third best offensive tackle or whatever. Last
yeah, year. Well, Connor Williams is like their now. Seventh best guard. Do you buy that? I mean,
I want to double check that to make sure that's true. But
I'll check it right now. I mean, and I'll tell you where their tackles were too, because Tyron's up there as well. I'm checking this while. So any other Eagles offensive player besides Jason
Dallas Goedert, tight end. I think you have a case for that.
So hold up. PFF's tackles from last year. Tyron number two. Ugh, embarrassing for BLG. Jordan Mailata number three. Lane Johnson number 10. Lyle Collins was number 15. Good thing he's back. For what it's worth, when it comes to guards, just to prove my point, because that's what's important here. Zach Martin was number two. I was a little bit off. Connor Williams is number 11, but again, I don't think anybody would have told you that, like, off the way it felt. So, Dallas Goedert. Okay. Can I name five tight ends in the NFC East that are better? Dalton Schultz or NFC, Dalton Schultz.
That's not true. Come on.
George Kittle. George Kittle leads the way. Obviously, Kyle Pitts.
Okay.
That's kind of it.
Gronk, if he comes back.
Right, Gronk, if he comes back.
He's currently a free agent, so.
Dalton Schultz and wherever Jared Cook winds up, because he's going to wind up in the NFC.
He's a better tight end than Dallas Goedert. Come on.
Yeah, it's a joke. Dallas Goedert, congratulations. Okay, so you've got two Eagles on offense. On defense, make your case.
Hassan Reddick, I think you could argue.
Right.
Among edge rushers. I would not say, I mean, Hargrave has top five defensive tackle, interior defender ability, like at his very best when he's flashed. But I feel like there's kind of been some issues in terms of him. Like he started off strong, really strong last year, had six sacks in his first five games. Like he was going to be like all pro at that pace. And then it kind of just tapered off. He kind of got banged up. It was kind of like the reverse situation in 2020 where he started off really slow, started to come on strong. So we've kind of yet to see that full on season, but like when he's at his peak, he's certainly a top five caliber player. Fletcher Cox definitely not in there anymore.
So I have a question about this, by the way, as I write my article in the background. So the Eagles cut Fletcher Cox like a week ago, right? That's the process that happened. And so didn't they designate him as a post-June first cut when they cut him? And so then they re-signed him.
Yes.
So is that allowed? Like, can they?
I mean, yeah.
That feels like a way to cheat things.
I mean, why?
Because, like, they're going to bring him back. So, like, they shouldn't be able to designate him a post-June first cut. Like, it's clearly done for the purposes of, like, pushing salary cap space into the future.
That's, but why can't you do that?
That seems unfair.
He was a free agent. He could have left. Like, he could have, if he, there were.
But why not do that? Why not do that? I mean, like, at the very least, I'm upset that no other teams seem to. I can't think of another example where a team has done this. Can you?
The Fletcher Cox contract, or the way his contract is structured, or was kind of restructured originally, literally took Jason Fitzgerald from over the cap, like a 25-minute explainer video to explain. So, like, I can't explain it here succinctly to you or anyone, And even the new deal that he re-signed with the team, which is like $14 million or whatever, like, I don't know exactly how that works fully in terms of the layout. So there's a lot of it stuff with the Cox contract here that's just basically pretty complicated. And it's the gist of it to me is that it's super dumb that the Eagles didn't trade him last offseason when like there was arguments being made to do that. Like Jimmy Kemsky wrote an article, my co-host on BGN Radio. I had been saying, I think dating back to like right after the 2020 season ended and I was doing my annual offseason position review series. And I wrote like, hey, a Fletcher Cox trade is probably something the team should consider because, and maybe not at the time during last offseason right away. But like, I was like, they should probably like trade him ahead of the 2021 trade deadline. See how the season goes and then sell him off, which they should have done. And they still kind of tried to do, but the problem was they restructured his deal where it made it like way harder to do that. So a long-winded way of saying the Eagles are way too loyal to their players sometimes. Howie Roseman has literally admitted as much. He gets too sentimental about the Eagles' own players. And they had an opportunity to cut, or not, sorry, that had an opportunity to trade Fletcher Cox probably for like a day two pick at worst, maybe a second round pick even. And they didn't. And they brought him back. And in part because they couldn't get anything. And now he's back again. And he's still like, he's not a bad player, clearly. And the Eagles are worse off without him. But you could argue that they could use the $14 million that they paid to him just now and have spent it in a better way. So that's where the Fletcher Cox thing stands. All right, how are you doing with the article?
I'm almost done. So that was really helpful, actually. Great job by you. It's a real talent on my end to listen and, you know, digest what you were saying.
You're not while listening also to what I'm saying.
I listened to everything you were saying. But again, my question that you launched into this like whole like explanation on was, can you think of another player on any team that got cut and designated a post-June 1st cut and then got brought back by the team like a day later?
No, but usually that's because the team doesn't want the player anymore.
But that feels like circumventing the system. And it's how? I'm not saying it's illegal because they get to save money on him this year. Like, and so like all and, I'm saying is more teams should do that. I understand the legality of it. I understand
Fletcher
that
Cox could have been like, you cut me, I don't want to be here anymore.
But it's a unique thing that maybe you kind of work out with, like, you know, your Fletcher Coxes and Larry Fitzgeralds and like players like that don't want to play for another team. So like, and I'm not saying it's an incredibly common occurrence, but like, can you think of a time where this happened? I cannot.
No, that's the answer to the question. I can't.
In one weird way, I applaud the Eagles for finding. That's a really creative way to create salary cap space for this season. It does obviously create a bit of a problem for the future, but you deal with it then. The salary cap will grow. Like, who cares? Like, that's smart. That's a good front office. There you go, Howie Roseman. You hate on him.
You're kind of doing the Chris Ballard thing, though, of like, well, you made this mess, and now you're cleaning it up, so you're great. You're a genius. This is amazing. We should celebrate this. So it's like, no, you probably shouldn't have just made the mess in the first place and done what people were saying you should have done, except that you didn't because you got too sentimental or you had your own ideas that you went against what seemed a little bit more obvious or at least should have been done, and now you're paying the price for it, and now maybe you're doing a decent job at navigating through the mess you made, but like, you made the mess, so you don't get like a gold star for that.
The article's done. Shout out to me. Okay, so Fletcher Cox not on the list. Hassan Reddick, fine. Any Darius Slay?
Yeah, you can put him up. Even
no, player. Wait, dude. You were like, Trayvon Diggs is not in the top five, and now here you are, like, not even batting an eye at Darius Slay. The nerve you have.
Well, who else are you gonna put?
Trayvon Diggs. J.R. Alexander.
Darius Slay. Can't put Patrick Peterson there anymore.
Who would? Dude, by the way, Patrick, I don't know if you saw this. Pat, like, the Cowboys have become, everything comes back to the Cowboys, but the Cowboys have become this team that, like, people only use as leverage, right? Like, yeah. Oh, I'm interested in the Cowboys. Patrick Peterson was on NFL Network last week, asked about teams he's interested in. The Chiefs, the Cowboys. Like, wow, Patrick, I wonder what you're trying to do here, bud. He's a great golfer. Love Patrick Peterson, but yeah, I'm good. Carlton Davis.
I don't have a strong opinion on that either way. Does anyone?
Adoree Jackson. Hey, we were high on him.
I don't think like top five high on him.
Yeah, I mean it was a joke, but okay, fine. Darius Slay. So that gives us Jason Kelce, Dallas Goedert, Hassan Reddick, and Darius Slay. Four Eagles, right?
Yeah.
No. Not as many as the Cowboys. Sad. The New York Giants. Are we ready for this? This is going to be fun.
No one.
Yeah, I mean, who comes closest?
I can't.
Blake Martinez, maybe.
I guess.
I mean,
I can't think of anyone. Like, there's Adoree nobody. Jackson, who comes closest? Adoree Jackson, Kenny Golladay, in theory, but not actually reality, because he's coming off a pretty bad year.
Zero touchdowns combined for Kenny Golladay and Kadarius Toney last year for the New York Giants.
And Adoree Jackson, too.
That's true.
maybe he had a pick six that I'm wrong. I don't know.
I mean, how many players, this is a different exercise that we're not prepared for, but how many of their players would be in the bottom five at their position in the NFC? Is Saquon?
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones for sure. Maybe Kenny Golladay.
Saquon in the bottom five?
So the question here is,
you're talking about like starters.
Yeah, can we name 11 running backs better? Okay, so like just yes or no. I'm going to rip through these. Yes or no, would you take the following running backs over Saquon? Yes or no? Zeke.
Yes.
I would take Zeke over Saquon. Okay. I don't know who you prefer in Philadelphia. Miles Sanders. Yes.
Yeah.
Antonio Gibson.
Yes.
Aaron Jones. Dalvin Cook. Yes. David Montgomery. Yes. Yeah. Right? DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Alvin Kamara, obviously.
Yes.
Mike Smith in Atlanta. I mean,
I can't tell you. I've seen Mike Smith like play a ton, honestly. I can't tell you much about him.
Atlanta's kind of a question mark. Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Cam Akers or Daryl Henderson. Either one.
Sure.
James Conner.
Yeah, I guess.
Pick a Niner. Like the flavor of the week, you know, that Kyle Shanahan's rolling with.
The rookie they had. What was his name? I forget. This he was like a 6th round rookie.
I forget
his name. That guy. That's the point.
Hang on. Elijah Mitchell. Thank you. I say thank you, but I did it. Elijah Mitchell we would take. And then again, pick your flavor Seahawk. Yeah, like whichever Seahawk it's gonna be. Pick one.
Rashad Penny.
Rashad Penny. Fine. So do you know how many we said no to?
None.
And well, the Falcons came to close.
Oh yeah, okay. Mike Smith. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, Saquon is bottom five. He might be bottom five in the NFL, honestly, among starters.
Maybe. But I think part of it too is it's tough to separate him from, you know, the contract from the pick.
Sure.
It's part of
it. But those are all real things. Thank you, Bear. Okay, so no Giants make the top five at any of their positions in the NFC. Who has the best chance to get there? You're not yet game.
I would say maybe Andrew Thomas at one point in his career. I mean, that's tough. Top five tackles. It's a pretty tough spot, but I think I'm just saying in terms of like who is one of the Giants' most young and actually promising players, I think you'd have to point to him.
I think Kenny Golladay, like one of the receivers. Like
Golladay, maybe Kadarius Toney. Could have like a big bounce back season randomly. Toney, I think Toney could, in theory, because he showed like top end talent. He was very brief last year, but he showed like he might have that in them. I don't know if we'll be able to channel that, but yeah.
Okay. So, Bear, it's all good, bud. It's all good. We're going to talk about the Andrew Luck rumor in a minute. It was hilarious. My most likely to get there, again, not that it's likely, I think it's Daniel Jones. Like, I think the most
top like, five in the NFL,
in the NFC. That's the game. Oh, you've forgotten it several times. Yeah.
Some of that, the NFC is still insane. I mean, but it's not insane given the current landscape, but
that's what I'm saying. Like the current landscape and the fact that we agree there are traits to work with, right? Like this is there's material for Brian Daboll to work with that, right? Like we agree with that. And Josh Allen is evidence of Brian Daboll's ability to elevate somebody that everybody wrote off. Everybody thought Josh Allen was the worst, you know, quarterback taken in 2018. Ha ha, Bills got the last laugh, whatever. Like, again, I'm admitting and fully acknowledging this is a long shot, but that's the most likely thing. Their most likely thing is a long shot.
I think that's, no, it's not even true. It can't happen.
We have news from the Dallas Cowboys before we get to the Commanders. Are you ready?
Who cares? Yeah.
This is big. The Dallas Cowboys, BLG, according to NFL Network, are re-signing punter Brian Anger.
I thought he wasn't going to be back. I saw some stuff like the Cowboys weren't going to re-sign him.
I mean, that was the report. The Dallas Morning News reported that a few weeks ago that they were probably going to lose him, but maybe the market wasn't what he thought it would be, so he returned. He was a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, the Eagles. I mean, I just wrote an article. Wow, 3-year deal worth $9 million, like you said. I wrote an article about remaining free agents the Eagles can sign, and I had Brian Anger on there, and devastating now that they can't get him. And also, I think someone made this joke on Twitter recently. Jimmy Kemsky, I believe retweeted them or responded to them, whatever. I saw it through him somehow, and they pointed out that an Eagles jersey with the last name Anger on the back would be really good in terms of like summing up like a Philly fan experience.
Do you know? I ask you seriously. The punters are people too line that was coined by Rich Eisen happened when Brian Anger was drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars. So
no, I do remember. Who did they? I remember like they notably took him over someone. Who was it?
The Jaguars? I don't remember. I think it was 2012.
Like him, and then it was like the next pick was like someone amazing.
Okay. Wow. Do we want to move on to the Commanders? Do you want to talk about the Andrew Luck thing? Did you see this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I mean, we have to finish the Commanders thing, I guess. Terry McLaurin, obviously. I think you could put him there.
Right. Well, I mean, Terry McLaurin, we already put him
Carson
on there.
Carson Wentz, obviously.
Brandon Scherff, I think, would have been on the list.
Scherff would have been in there, but he is not on the team.
Chase Young.
I get, yeah. It wasn't that
like
great.
You could put their whole like D line up there, like honestly.
I guess. Payne.
Right.
Jonathan Allen before Payne.
Both of them.
Allen definitely in the mix. Any other linebackers? No. Secondary? Not really. Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, tough times in Washington. McLaurin. Okay, so they got on the board, though, at least, with Terry McLaurin.
They did. The Giants did not.
Okay, you ready for the Carson Wentz thing?
You mean the Andrew Luck thing?
Or Andrew Luck thing. It's been a weird episode. Sometimes we actually got questions why
we're
record.
We're just going to delete this episode.
We got questions why we record on at this time. Because like you and I love to complain about how like weird things happen like after we record. It's kind of the only time that we have that, like, you know, everybody has schedules, everybody has stuff going on. So this is the time that we have to make work. So
Russell Wilson was the player that was picked 5 picks after Brian Anger.
Nice. But the Eagles almost drafted him. Oh, dude, by the way, I heard it first of all. But shout out to the NFC East mixtape audience. My mentions were filled with the new catchphrase from people. I got this. You know, Brandon, it's just, I sit back and I think it's been 10 years since I was drafted. And, you know, it was such a privilege to get that call and to be welcomed into the National Football League. I mean, you know, I've been dreaming about this. I mean, I was playing in the backyard, drawing up plays, and, you know, to do that with great players, you know, great players like Percy Harvin and Jimmy Graham and Jermaine Kearse and Doug Baldwin, and Golden Tate. We don't talk about that, but and you know, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, you know, the Legion of Boom. I mean, I've been around some Hall of Famers, and I'd like to be in there one day. And so this is a part of my journey. And you know, we'll look back on this, and I'm here to win. You know, that's the only thing I know how to do, you know, is win. The losses were, you know, those didn't exist in my mind.
I'd say that, but okay.
And so, you know, Broncos country, let's ride. Like, dude, what? That is the lamest. It is so long. It's so many syllables.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Broncos country, let's ride. That's 6 syllables.
That's too many.
And like the in Coes, like the Broncos, like it's like a, like it like breaks my back every time. You know what I mean? It's just, and then like the let's ride. By the way, the Commanders had tweeted out let's ride with like a movie poster sort of thing. I think we have a feud that's brewing here, you know?
I mean, what else could he say? Should he just do let's ride?
I'm telling you, it should have been go crush. It should, like, the orange crush. That would have been a play at the, like, Broncos fandom. You know what I mean?
Do Broncos fans use that at all, though? I don't think they use that.
I mean, oh, dude, what if he had gone, like no words, but, like, a neigh of a horse? Like, you know?
Yeah, that would be totally.
That would have been cool.
Imagine, like, going to a Russell Wilson press conference, not knowing, like, he's going to do that. And, like, you're asking him a question. He ends his press conference. And he just does that. And you're like, what the hell is going on?
The thing that I am thinking about is, like, when you're imagining is, like he probably how many things do you think he has signed with GoHawks in his like how many times do you think he's right and he's been asked like, hey, can you put GoHawks? He probably charges more to put GoHawks, whatever. Broncos country is a lot of words. Or Broncos country, let's ride. Like that is so much to write out. It's gonna hurt your wrist.
He would put like BCLR.
Oh, it's such a great point. But like with a semicolon, like BC semicolon LR.
Maybe, yeah.
Wow. You know, it's just, it's, you know, this is a story. Dude, I can't believe that I didn't foresee him calling out the dual sport thing with John.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was so obvious in hindsight. Oh, man. You know,
I can't believe he's not in the NFC East. It's such a crime in terms of like the content of the podcast.
Wow. Okay. Anyway. Speaking of the 2012 NFL draft, Andrew Luck, obviously the number one overall pick. The Commanders, there was a report from Sports Illustrated. They reportedly, BLG, called Andrew Luck.
About to go for him.
Yeah. I mean, your thoughts.
Not great. I mean, why not? But where was he at that we saw him like recently? Was it the Super Bowl or something?
No, it was the national championship.
Okay. Yeah. And he didn't look ready to play, I would say. He looks like pretty like skinny and scrawny. So worth a call. Can't hurt. He's a free agent, right? Or I mean, how would that work? I guess do the Colts technically still own his rights? I don't know. I guess
I always thought it was so strange how like Marshawn Lynch came out of retirement and like the Seahawks just let the Raiders have him. You know what I'm saying? And even last year,
like Gronk and the Patriots and the Bucks,
or yeah. some like the one I really didn't understand was last year when Aaron Rodgers was like, "I will only come back if Randall Cobb is here." Like if you're the Texans, how are you not like 3 first round picks for Randall? You know what I mean? Like how I don't understand how that doesn't happen.
Well, I mean there are relationships here. You know, you have to kind of in theory maintain to do deals with other teams. I don't think the you know, and if that was the Texans' real asking price, then Packers would be like, we're not doing that.
I do want to say something since the Andrew Luck thing is over. the deal for Brian Anger, it is a 3-year deal worth $9 million.
I said that already.
Well, I didn't listen. Again, yeah, it's been a weird episode. So I just now understood that. And look, I'm happy that the Cowboys are going to have a good player back. All right, Brian Anger is a good punter, but that is not the place to spend money. You know, like, why are you spending $3 million a year on your punter?
We can't keep Amari Cooper, but here you go, Brian Anger. And here you go, Randy Gregory. Hey, Randy Gregory, we can't, like, guarantee you or whatever. We can't, you know, we just can't fully seal the deal here. But Brian Anger, come on back.
It's a tweet from Marcus Mosier, who hosts the Locked On Cowboys podcast. Great guy. I mean, this just contextualizes where we're at. The Cowboys are paying their running back and their punter $20 million.
Is that good? Is that a good thing? Do good teams do that?
Why? Like, I'm a good person, you know. Like, and I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to exercise more. Trying to eat better. You know, right before we came in here, I had a pork chop that we made in the Ninja with a sweet potato and some Brussels sprouts. Look at me, you know.
I don't like Brussels sprouts. We talked about this.
I know, but these were really good. I know we talked about it, but I had to bring them up again.
They're fine, at best.
Wow. Okay. Do we have anything else before we get out of here so I can write the Brian Anger article? Anything you want to get off your chest? Brandon is on Twitter. Brandon Gotten. This episode sucked because of him, not because of me. So
it was a bad show. We shouldn't release this, but to anyone who listened to this and still wants to listen to our podcast moving forward, I appreciate you. The one person who probably falls into that category, our single listener.
Oh, last thing. Who's your favorite contestant on Survivor 2 episodes in?
You know, it's kind of funny. He actually kind of, I feel like he kind of reminds me of you, but that's not why I like him, to be clear.
You know, Pete, you say that. I am the subject of every episode of the Oddcast. I just want to say that. So.
Not true. is the Omar? The Muslim man.
Who on the orange
the bird shirt. Yeah.
Right. Oh, the bird shirt. Right. Yeah.
I think he's kind of cool so far. Good vibe. I like his relationship, his little bromance with Jonathan, who my mom likes to say reminds her of Jason Kelsey. Shout out, mom.
So me and Jason Kelsey were pals, apparently, through the prism of the Gowtons, at least.
I mean, I don't think they think. I don't know how.
You're a Gowton yourself. That's what I'm saying. So like consolidating all the Gowtons, parents. Like Jason Kelsey and I are buds. Okay.
I guess that's your takeaway. Who do you like?
I like Jenny from the Green Tribe, the one who spearheaded the puzzle at the beginning.
Oh, yes. You know what I'm talking about? Yep.
I like her a lot. I like the Orange Tribe in general. Like, I like their vibe. Like, they're super, like, accommodating to one another. They're super, in you know, peaceful and like, it's a real familial vibe. I generally don't like tribes. Like, I'm generally like, just merge, you know, get to the single portion of this game, single player portion. But I like this tribe. You know what I'm saying? I don't really like the Blue Tribe that much. Like, they just, doesn't feel right to me.
I like High too. I'd pick him as
High is awesome. That's like, a great pick. Great pick. Okay. Ready to rock?
Good season so far, I would say. If you haven't tuned in already, catch up and give it a try. Survivor 42, baby.
And you know, they dropped the 4 and kept the 1. And
is Russell Wilson on Survivor?
Dude, Russell would be the like craziest Survivor host of all time. You know, but nobody can beat Probst. Probst has the best one-liners, but there is no one-liner like Broncos Country. That's right. Like, dude, like, just, I'm so sick of it. All right, Brandon, get us out of here. You have 4,000 words to make this good, so don't mess it up.
Go to bleedingreennation.com and then refresh the page 1 million times every single day. Thank you. Bye.